हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके ओके सो देन भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय वन आदिकाण्ड फोर भक्ति सुपीरियर टू ऑल अदर साधनास। So continuing Anucheda 6, 106, we're discussing about Lord Shiva and how bhakti is affirmed by not respecting processes which do not take shelter of bhakti. Right? So even though they're Vedic processes, but if they're not taking shelter of bhakti, even that is rejected. Right? They may be pious, but we're talking about what's the superior. The discussion is what's the superior sadhana. So then bhakti is the superior sadhana because that's what everything is meant to do. So the Vedas will describe the importance of Vishnu and the importance of bhakti. But unfortunately, there are those who, due to their attachments, they want the benefits that the Vedas offer, but they're not willing to move forward in their consciousness, to elevate their consciousness. To find out what is the absolute truth. So they're comfortable, in their position in the material world, whatever that may be. So then, those processes that support bhakti, those are superior. And anything else then is inferior. And then amongst inferior, yes, you can say this is better, this is not. So like Prabhupada saying, you have dry stool and wet stool. You can say the dry stool is better than the wet stool, but it's still stool. Right, so living on the heavenly planets, enjoying life is still in the material world, and it's the effect, and benefit for the soul is no different than the same thing anywhere else in the universe. So then, continuing with the Acharya 23, worshipping Shiva independently brings the curse of Bhrigu. When Nandishwar had spoken, Bhrigu, hearing the curse, uttered a Brahman's curse in response. On behalf of the Brahmins, which was difficult to avoid. Bhavavrata dhara yecha tan samanuvrataha prashandinas te bhavantu satchastra paripantinaha. But those who take vows to satisfy Lord Shiva and who follow such persons become heretics and become obstacles to the genuine scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:2, 27, 28. Bhavavrata means those who worship Shiva according to the Vedas, like bhava. Then, because bhava means the ecstatic emotions and things that you experience. Bhava means the material world, right? So then he is known as bhava, and then his wife Bhavani, like that. The word Pashandi already has been applied to those not following the Vedas, right? So then the curse applies even to those following the Vedas. So if you're not following the Vedas, then it applies to you, that if you're worshiping. But then you follow the Vedas, it still applies to you because the point is the Vedas are meant for worshiping Vishnu. And so therefore, if we, these people are called obstacles to authorized scripture like Bhagavatam. Unauthorized scriptures are scriptures like Sutta Samhita in the Skanda Purana. Thus, it is a fault to worship Shiva independently since Bhagavatam mentions in the same section that the Lord is the root of the Vedas. Esha eva hi lokanam Shiva pantha sanatanaha yam purve chanushantastur yat parama Yat pramanam janardanaha. The Vedas, which were followed previously and in which the root is Janardana, are the auspicious eternal path for humanity, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.2.31. So that's the point, is that Janardhan is the root, not Brahma or Shiva or any other demigod or any other process or any other goal. All these others are things you can do with what's already there, but the root is Janardhana. He's the one who empowers and makes everything function. Therefore, anything that's not, doesn't have its purpose in serving the Lord, then is rejected here as inferior. Aisha refers to the Vedas. Yet pramanam Janardana means in which the root is Janardana. Vishnu Bhakti is confirmed by reasoning in verses like the following, right? So then we've had what is the, from the negative, and then here's by using reasoning. The one supreme Purusha, accepting the gunas of Prakriti, known as Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, for creation, maintenance, and destruction is called Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. The best results for the devotees will come from Vishnu, Vishuddha Sattva Bhati, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.23. So the point is the Lord accepted these three, the Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. So in the form of Brahma, he's accepting the Rajas, in the form of Shiva, the Tamas, and as in the form of Vishnu, he's accepting the goodness. And even though he's beyond the modes, the point is that Rajas and Tamas, then the living entities, the conditioned living entities and other living entities could deal with. But maintenance, no one can maintain unless they're able to provide the ingredients. And so therefore the potencies that make the whole material creation function, how the 24 elements combine together and their methods and their the laws governing them, that comes from Vishnu. So he's the only one that can be there in the maintenance. That's why, even though he's the supreme in that position where he's maintaining the material world, then it'll be mentioned that then the Lord is above even this Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, because he's above that position of having to maintain the material world. His Amsha is doing that because no one else can do it. And he empowers others to do the other things because even they can't do those things without Krishna's power. So then he's beyond that, because that aspect is not the real reason that, that the Lord makes the material world. He makes it so that living entities can go back to Godhead. So we should see is that whatever we're doing is, how does it connect to Krishna? Because that's what it was made for. Yes, it has the mechanics of what it does, but the point, we're supposed to be using the mechanics like they do in the spiritual world. Being a reflection, naturally then it can be engaged in Krishna's service, right? So then it's a matter of seeing. So the pious elements in the material world are more the natural reflection. They're perverted in that our consciousness is perverted, but they're not distorted, right? Means the form of them looks is similar, right? It's basically the same, maybe not the same quality, but basically the same. But at some point, it starts to become distorted, and then it starts to get, going down from piety down into impiety. So therefore, the Lord was Shuddha Sattva Bhati, even though he's the Lord of Sattva, he has Shuddha Sattva. Those who then worship him come to the same platform of Shuddha Sattva. Shiva says in Hari Vamsa, Harir Eva Sadadhyayo Bhavadbhi Bhi Sattva Samstitaha Vishnu Mantram Sadavi Praf Patadvam Jyata Keshavam. You who are situated in Sattva should always meditate on Vishnu. O Brahmanas, always recite Vishnu mantra, meditate on Keshava, Harivamsa. Right, so you can see is that the Vaishnavas then means that are there, they don't have a problem with Shiva, it's his followers that are the problem. But we see the followers of Shiva, because they get distracted, like they become an obstacle to the actual understanding of the Vedas. Right? They become heretics. Therefore, they think Shiva is superior, and they don't like the worshippers of Vishnu like that. So they don't accept Vishnu as supreme, and they don't like the worshippers. The Though devotion to Shiva has been explained in this way, in the Vaishnava scriptures, there are prescriptions for worshipping devatas with spiritual forms, the servants and the avaranas around the Lord. Footnote 1. Around the Lord's abode are four walls. Around that are concentric walls. On each wall in the eight directions, different sets of personalities are situated. Each set is called an avarana. Right? So it just naturally expands. And so then as you go out, he's dealing with everything. So everything in the cosmos is being dealt with through his expansions as the avaranas. But we see is that the purpose is the bhakti, because all these expansions are just dealing with different levels of the creation, or the cosmos, in as much as the levels of the consciousness of the devotee. So as, or of the living entity. So as the consciousness goes down, it becomes materialistic, then so many avaranas will take care of there. When you're dealing in the spiritual realm, then so many will take care of there. That's just a matter. Are you talking about, Krishna in Braj or Krishna in Mathura Dwarka, or in Ayodhya or in Vaikuntha, like this? So then it expands the moods. Others should be regarded as vibhutis of the Lord, either as the groups of the Lord's Vaikuntha followers or followers assisting his human pastimes. Just as many persons gathered at Yudhishthira's Rajasthriya sacrifice to please the Lord. Then from Bhagavatam, quote, Prahlada, a portion of the Lord, then worshipped the Prajapatis, Brahma and Shiva, and bowed down with his head. Right, so he's a portion of the Lord. Now he's representing the certain aspects. So he in the nine forms of devotion, and he embodies remembrance of the Lord. He's always absorbed in remembering the Lord. That Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:32. Yudhishthira said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious, opulent expansions by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. Please make our endeavor a success, my Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:72:3. So all these different personalities, all these different aspects are going to be expansions of the Lord. Like that, and he's mentioned here, vibhutis. So like the king represents the Lord, who takes care of mankind, just as the Vaishya represents the Lord in taking care of the cows, the Brahmins represent the Lord in taking care of the Vedas, so then even you're just dealing in the general group that's there, let alone you have personalities like Brahma and Shiva and Narad Muni and others that are there, that are then higher levels of incarnations like that. The Lord explains these vibhutis to Satyabhama and Padma Purana, Kartika Mahatmya. Saivav Sauras Chaganesha Vaiknavas Shakti Pujakaha Mam Eva Prapnuvantiha Varsham Bhasagaram Yata Eko Ham Panchada Jatam Kridayan Namabhi Kila Deva Datto Yata Kaschit Putra Dya Vahana Putra Dya Vana Namabhi. Worshippers of Shiva, the sun, Ganesh, Vishnu, and Durga eventually attain me, just as the moon's monsoon waters go to the sea. Though one, I have five forms and perform pastimes with those names. Just as a person named Devadatta is called with various names as his son and other relatives. Padma Purana 688-43-44. So these are places where, what they're pointing out is that Krishna comes and it's his vibhutis. Everything's expanded and it's his potency. So in this way, he performs pastimes of, being the wonderful sunrise or being the movement of the waves and the ocean, or being how the wind will blow, or birds will fly, or, different things will happen. All the amazing things that happen in the world, these are all just vibhutis of the Lord, and then these pastimes are going on. But the point is all these points, if you don't see them in connection with devotion to Krishna, that he is Bhagavan, all these things are appreciated. Then it's a lower level of consciousness. And it will not give one the, it itself will not give you that highest element. But because there's devotion to these things, there's a jata sukriti, one will gradually move forward. And in that, hopefully, when you bump into the Vaishnavas through following that pious path, then you're going to, at that time, then you can make that switch. So everybody's going to go. It's following that path. It's just a matter of at what point they switch the conscious over that they continue and go back to Godhead. You know, so that's the advantage of the Vedic system, is that you have the basis in scriptures, right? So therefore, then the topmost being the Bhagavatam. You have the position of guru and respect for authority. You have regulation. And that regulation and all that's meant for uplifting the consciousness, and the side effect, you're also getting, you know, physical, mental, you know, social, intellectual health, you know, with the idea that all this will bring rise to the healthy rays of the consciousness. While non-Vedic, then they have little bits of something that regulate so that there's some concept of these things, that there is some element of piety there. But they don't have the aspect that you're performing your karma or jnana. Within that, you're going to meet Vaishnavas. You have that possibility because they may come to your programs and doing your worship or your charity, or you may be discussing philosophy, like we see Prabodhananda Saraswati, not Prabodhananda, Prakashananda Saraswati. They're discussing Vedanta, so they invite Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi. But being a devotee, or playing that role of devotee, then he can explain to them about what's the actual process and everything, so they get elevated. So then, you know, it's so much more advantageous. You know, you go around the city and, you know, there's, you know, Krishna, Mistan Bandar, or this or that, or so many things to remind you of the Lord or his parts and parcels. Well, outside the Vedic, then it becomes less and less. And it, you know, it becomes, yeah. So there's such an advantage to it. So anybody who says that, oh, we're, you know, we're Westerners, so therefore it doesn't apply to us. But the point is we're not Westerners. We're actually parts and parcels of Krishna. So therefore, whatever reminds us of that, that's the natural culture for the living entity. So by saying, okay, we're Westerners, then the difficulty comes is that we're attached to that position of being Westerners, which is a bodily concept. And that bodily concept, unless it's connected to Krishna, then it will be useless as any variety of sadhana, any variety of practice. It doesn't gain anything for the soul. So that's why then Lord Chaitanya is mentioning that he doesn't identify even on the Vedic platform as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. He's identifying simply as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. That's the main thing. And then duties, one may do, perform one's duties with on varna and ashram, like that. And then in its natural form, or if it's distorted form, like we see in the West. But the point is to identify in that way is not going to be beneficial for moving forward in Krishna consciousness. They can be aspects to perform duties, or can see as, okay, we're born in this situation. We have these kind of parents, this kind of upbringing, an association, this kind of education. So I can, will do best or feel most comfortable engaging these particular kinds of activities in Krishna service, you know, by the nature. But that's all the more it has the value, is that these things can be engaged in Krishna service, but it has to be, it's the service that's the main thing. It always has to be focused on the service is the main. And these others can assist if they're engaged. And if they're not, they don't have a glory on their own. That's the point. Bhakti is glorious on its own, and the material consciousness and its situations and facilities are not glorious without Krishna. Actually, however, the Vaishnava is the best of all these worshippers. In Skanda Purana, in discussions between Brahma and Narada, and in the Prahlad Samhita concerning staying awake on Ekadasi, it is said, the worshippers of the sun, Shiva, Brahma, Durga, or any devata cannot compare with the devotees of the Lord. Right? So even though it may be recommended, that's to get you on the path of worshiping authorized expansions and manifestations of the Lord. And the only reason you're doing it is because of the material benefit you want to get from it. But actually, those who worship Vishnu, the others can't compare. There is no comparison, as we saw before in that list. You know, we're just talking about the difference between the devotees of Nrisimha and Shiva is great. A person with a sacred thread is worth 100 without a thread. One household is equal to 100 persons with threads, right? Because the grihastha is the central feature, or is the central, central active principle of the varnashram and maintaining it. And the point of varnashram is to get out of it. Therefore, we see as the sannyasis, vanaprasthas, will be considered in a senior position. But actually, the grihastha then becomes a very important point. So the brahmacharya is in training, right? They'll get trained and either become a grihastha or a vanaprastha sannyas, but training. So therefore, the household who's been trained is equal to 100 of those who are in training. Then the purpose of grihastha is to become detached from these material activities. Therefore, one vanaprastha is equal to 100 householders. Then one's supposed to dedicate yourself to acting on the platform of the soul and trying to advance and get beyond the material entanglement. Therefore, one sannyasi is equal to 100 vanaprasthas. Then it says one worshiper Shiva is equal to 100 sannyasis. So these sannyasis are just renounced. But now if they're worshiping Shiva, then they're seeing that there's a higher principle and all that, and he is one of the guna avatars of the Lord. He's the feature of destruction in the mood of the Lord of being the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Like that. One who studies in the Shringa, okay. Then Atharvashira, so then you know the Veda. Like that, one who knows the Atharvashira is equal to the 100 Shiva worshippers. So Shira means head, Atharva means all the Vedas. Right, because the as Prabhupada mentions, it was one time, before it was called Atharva Veda. It means everything was there. But then Vyasadeva, seeing that the individuals in Kali Yuga don't have the qualification to study the whole Veda, he broke it up into four parts. So then the Rig Yajur Sama and Atharva. So it's not just arbitrary, it means whatever are the riks, the basis, the hymns that everything in the Veda is based on, those central things becomes the Rig Veda. And then all the application of those, and technical methods, that's the Atharva. Then all the samans, all the songs, those are put together in the saman. And then whatever's left after that, that then remains as the Atharva, because the Atharva is that a general category. So before, the riks, the prose sections, and the songs, the samans, they were all within that, but he separated them so that you can see things more clearly. And then as Krishna says in the Gita, the Rig, Yajur, and Sama, then he is of those. Of all those, in the Vibhutis, he is those three Vedas over the Atharva. Because they'll be more directly used in worship and all those kind of things. The Atharva will deal with all the variety of anything that's happening in human life. So that'll be subservient to doing yajna and sacrifice. Then of that, then Krishna says, of those three Vedas, he's the Sama. Because then it's songs and glorification and all that. So that aspect is considered the superior. Then we see, then it goes up, and then the Bhagavatam becomes the topmost, right? So we see there, but in any case, they're worshiping the Atharva. So it's 100. One who studies in the Nrisimha Tapani is equal to 100 persons who study the Atharva Shiras. One who chants in the Nrisimha Mantra is equal to 100 students of the Upanishad. So you've studied the Upanishad, but it's when you take up of their regular chanting or worship in the Nrisimha through the mantra, they're worth 100 of them. Because the point is you've studied, but until you apply it in your life with determination, then it won't have as much meaning. Right? So it keeps going up like that. That's Nrisimha Tapani Upanishad 5.8. Right. When it is said that worshippers of the sun and other devatas attain the Lord, it is not because of that worship, right? And it's in other words, it's because of the bhakti that's being present within it. When that increases, they come in contact with the devotees. Now they can actually deal with the sampradayic devotion that has the chit potency. Rather, they attain the Lord by pure bhakti arising from japa and austerity performed to please the Lord, or by the power of dying at the Vishnu Kshetra. An example is Deva Sharma and Chanda Sharma worshiping the sun. The Lord says, by the power of the holy place, by their qualities of Dharma, the two surrendering to me were brought to Vaikuntha by my followers. I have been pleased by these two since for their whole life. They worship the sun and also perform bhakti, Padma Purana. So one always must make that distinction. Otherwise, the problem comes is that you don't make a distinction. And so then one will say is, oh, so therefore any of these things I'm engaging, using the Yukta Vairagya element, we're misunderstanding that Yukta Vairagya doesn't mean it's all one. Yukta Vairagya means it's all Krishna's potency. Krishna is in everything. And then we're supposed to see everything in Krishna. Not that it becomes on its own equal to bhakti. So if I'm engaging my nature in Krishna's service, it's being engaged in Krishna's service that's actually the bhakti is the thing. My engaging my nature, that's just a way of expressing bhakti. But it's the point is it's not equal to bhakti. It only becomes useful when it connects to bhakti. Same way, like we saw before, is that all these vibhutis of the Lord, then they're all potencies of the Lord. So you're worshiping the Lord through them. But then if we take this general kind of, this, mundane Vedic kind of approach, then we take it, oh, it doesn't matter who I worship or what I worship, everything's God and it'll all bring you back to the same place. No, it's the bhakti that will make you forward. And at some point, you have to take up pure bhakti. So when it says you will all get there, it means that they'll all come to the point of pure bhakti. So we say everyone goes back to Godhead. You only go back to Godhead by pure bhakti. Then we're saying everyone will come to the platform of pure bhakti. So then why waste time now? Take it up now. The holy place was Mayapuri. When Krishna appeared, they became Satyajit and Akrura. Similarly, the devotee named Pundarika attained the Lord by serving his father. Right, so they're doing their services and whatever they're doing according to their duties, but if they're doing it with pure devotion to the Lord, then they'll go back to Godhead. So that's the whole point, is that you pick those things that are will be in line with or comfortable for worshiping Krishna. So as you see there is that for pure devotion, it'll get them to Vaikuntha. But we're looking for pure unalloyed devotion. So therefore we'll even give up these kind of elements and just worship Krishna directly. I'm sure that will come up as we go. Attaining the Lord by
Also,
independent, yes.
the theme that is going on, it's trying to explain how all bhakti is also independent. So later it comes this point about how the jnana and kriya shaktis through which bhakti is functioning, that is, these are the shaktis of the Lord. But the Brahma Jnana which arises in the devotee is from the relationship with the gunas. So, I mean, this point is highlighted a bit later. It comes in the next adhyaya that bhakti is associated with the Lord's satisfaction and other qualities. But when we are speaking, there is like this quote, though Kapila speaks about bhakti with gunas and above the gunas, that bhakti is so called only because of the gunas in a person's mind. So there is also the difference about from what the person, how he is viewing bhakti and what is originally bhakti on its own also.
Okay, so you're just separating it off that bhakti is the superior. Then once that's accepted, then you can start analyzing that the quality of the consciousness of the individual viewing bhakti.
Yeah. So okay. Basically, here the connecting part where the verses says that Lord says ultimately they will achieve me is these people are at the level of Brahma Jnana where from their side they are, you know, potent enough now to accept bhakti. Like as Gita says about only Brahma Bhuta stage is where from one can ideally practice bhakti. So all these other practices are making one qualify through that because by gunas, all the other demigod worship and all the other Vedas, everything is still under the gunas unless somebody accepting the Lord's mercy as it is.
Gita says, mad bhakti mulabhate param, then he can enter into devotion service after Brahma Bhuta.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So you had that. Go ahead.
So here the connection is that's why I made that. Okay, they are doing their worship, whatever that is, the Brahma Bhuta stage. But unless there is a connection directly towards either the Lord's Dhamma or with devotees, then it will never become bhakti, because bhakti. Jnana and Kriya Shakti, it functions through Jnana and Kriya Shaktis of the Lord, not of the material world.
Yes. Yeah.
And this theme will be reiterated again and again, but exclusively said only later.
Okay. Yeah, so this is that point of where it switches from one side to the other. Even though it may look the same, this is actually the point of switching. So this is that difficult point to identify.
Because here the still the theme is going on how jnana and karma are dependent on bhakti, and here is upasana kanda even of demigods is can't be done independently because they are all dependent on bhakti. And independent worship is condemned everywhere like that.
It's interesting you mentioned about that they understand that platform of Brahman. Is that it means you have Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So when this thought aspect of the eternity aspect, you know, is there, then like you said, the Jnana Shakti is still going to be from the material platform, but they're appreciating the Brahman platform. And so then it is an advanced platform and it is a good platform to move forward from. And then when they add in that worship of Vishnu, you know, from the platform of he's the maintainer, the controller, all these different aspects, then it brings it to that Paramatma. So they acted in another. So then the knowledge increases and then their activity and connection with the Lord increases. But as you pointed out from that verse, from the Padma Purana, and you know, without the power of the holy place and the followers, then it's not going to move forward to Bhagavan. So it's at the point of Bhagavan, then you qualify to go to Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So it has to get there. So it is progressive, but it's still without bhakti, without the followers, without the holy place, then they don't. It's not going to be very effective.
Also, Maharaj, Bhagavad Gita in chapter 17 and in the beginning of 18 describes about how different activities in three modes and consciousness in three modes like that. So sattva is liberating and rajas is, you know, engaging in the material world, but tamas is taking you down. But the same verse comes in Bhagavatam where it always tells the aspect beyond the gunas, but by worshipping me, then you go beyond the gunas. That is always Gita. There are only few verses where it is exclusively told about, okay, beyond the gunas, you'll get achieved by worshipping the Lord. But Bhagavatam, in every verse where Gita mentioned about only these three, Bhagavatam always mentions the fourth aspect of, you know, the Lord beyond. So this is also another interesting, like how Krishna also initially addresses this as Jiva Goswami is, you know, first telling about the point that, okay, person can be at the Brahma Jnana. I mean, some verses quoted here that ultimately they'll achieve the Lord, but after that, then in the 18th chapter, he makes the full connection only Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, only when somebody is completely dependent, then he gets. And because without the mercy of devotees and without mercy of Bhakti Shakti, all we can be is better at the max is in Sattva Gun. We cannot go beyond that.
That's the maximum you can get, because you're looking for the jiva being committed to going beyond. Because when the living entities at the end of the creation, when all the living entities go into the Lord, then they're in the position of Vishuddha Sattva. And so when he breathes out, they're in that position still. But then once the creation takes place, and, you know, all the universes and the Lord goes in and everything's arranged, and all the facilities that they, you know, would be in their conditioned state attracted to, then they naturally then go wherever, you know, into the universes, wherever it would be the best place, you know, the appropriate place for them and their consciousness. So even though they were on that platform of Vishuddha Sattva, it's not their committed platform. So no one can say, oh, but, you know, here they're in that place, you know. Or even though the living entities, you know, are going to that point of Vishuddha Sattva if they're Brahmavadis, but it's incomplete, because, you know, they may be able to stay there while the creation destruction is going on, but they haven't gone beyond that Brahman platform. So even though there may be a touch of the Paramatma feature, they're not actually knowing much until they get to the Bhagavan. So they, as an individual in devotion, are committing themselves to worshiping the Lord on that platform, and that is then the superior position. Then they can't actually get beyond the material world, because that Mahakalapura, that's on the edge of the spiritual world and the material world, because Shiva Loka is right there in that middle position. So they're there, but then, you know, and Shiva's performing his pastimes with his devotees and worshiping Shankarshan and doing kirtan, but, you know, he'll be keeping his eye on all these Brahmavadis who are there, you know, absorbed and, you know, sitting there in the whiteness there, and considering themselves merged. But as soon as then their mind wavers, then he immediately then puts them in the appropriate position in the material world. You know. So yeah.
Maharaj, it reminds me what you just described. It reminds me about sometimes you get in the temple, people, they come and while the devotees are chanting, dancing in the kirtan, enjoying the Krishna consciousness, they sit in meditation, so-called.
Yes, and they sit there and, oh, like that. Yeah. And so it inspires them to get off the regular mundane platform and try to function at a little bit more of that platform of whatever it is that they're trying to do. So, yes, but then by doing that, so then they can't chant, they can chant Om, and then Prabhupada mentions by chanting Om, then it will remove insanity. So if they keep doing that, keep regularly coming to the temple and sitting there and chanting Om while everybody else is doing kirtan, you know, when they're doing in front of the deities and the association in the holy place, and they're hearing the holy name, even though they may not be paying much attention, then their heart will become purified. And at some point, then they'll go in and know, well, what are the devotees doing and what's going, why are they chanting and dancing? I'm just sitting here. You know, so what I'm doing is nice. I'm getting a good feeling from it, but they're standing up and jumping up and down. They must be getting a better feeling than I am. So what is going on? Yeah.
I have a question, Maharaj.
Yes.
Can we say that what you described, this Vishuddhisattva platform during the time of Pralaya, can we say that everybody attains this just by proximity with the Lord, just automatically?
Yeah. Yes.
So, but
everybody, because there's no body.
Yes.
There's no gross body to manifest. You're unconscious. But you're not, you know, grossly material consciousness through a particular conditioning. You know, all that you have is that I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's still left. That's why it says, even they give up, you're still, the Linga Sharir is still there. That's why you will come back. As long as the Linga Sharir, even you give up seemingly the gross and subtle body like the impersonalists may do when they merge in Brahman, but because they haven't given up the Linga Sharir, I'm the control and enjoyer, they will come back. Because they'll think, I am an advanced devotee, I am guru of devotees, like that. And so they will come back. You know, it's guaranteed. I think it's in the... what do you call it? The Schwarzenegger Samhita. You know, and that he mentions the Mahavakya of "I'll be back." You know, so following that aspect, then they're always back. So it's, the thing is, that's why it's so important. You know, as Halayana Thayaprabhu was pointing out earlier, is that. Right now, we're pointing out that bhakti is the superior process over all others, and it's only through bhakti that they work, right? And so, others following that, they'll go back to Godhead, they'll perfect themselves because of the bhakti. So at one point, it will switch to the bhakti. So it's not the form, because we're thinking, oh, so then you can do this, and this will take you back to Godhead. No, that will never take you back. It's the bhakti that's being performed. You know, just like we see in the fifth and sixth cantos, that you see kings, you know, it's talking about the line of kings, you know, as a Purana, it has to describe the line of kings and the sun and moon dynasty. So as you're describing the kings, it will talk about, and it'll say this one, son of this one, and this one had it, kind of like that. And then some of them, you'll give more description. So those are the ones where you see the devotees. They're doing something, you know, outstanding. And in there, they're still performing all their kingly duties. They're sitting in their court. They're doing, you know, they're following all the aspects of Varna and Ashram that are there. You know, we see the Pandavas. They're doing all that. And then when it comes time, Krishna leaves and they take Vanaprastha. You know, their sons are all gone anyway. So it's not that, because normally at Vanaprastha, you'd wait for the son to get married. And when he has his children or his son, then at that point, you know, and your hair is gray, then you go to the forest. But here is that Krishna's gone, you know, we're here for that, and our sons are gone anyway. And so then they take Vanaprastha. So they're following all these different things, but they're doing it simply to please Krishna. So this is what we mean by Daiva Varnashram. So when we're saying in here is that they're following these principles, but at some point by the association of the devotees and the holy dham, they go from Varnashram to Daiva Varnashram to pure bhakti. And at that stage, then they qualify to go back to Godhead. Now, within that, as Haladaran Thay was pointing out in coming up points, he's going to get into the fine points of that. The living entity still may be acting under the modes. And so depending upon that, how you view bhakti, you're going to be getting that much benefit. That's why it's recommended to act on the platform of goodness, means do things because you're supposed to do them. This is the recommendation, you do that. But it's all why we should do that. We're Westerners and all this. Oh, I'm an individual. What about my individuality? All these different things that may come up, they're going to get in the way of being situated in goodness, because you say, I am the Westerner, that's mode of ignorance, because the soul never is. And why? Because I get these benefits, I feel this social things, I have this prestige, this economic advantage, or this particular lifestyle, or this food, or these clothes, that's mode of passion. So Therefore, how is that going to be useful for pure bhakti? Because we're trying to get from shuddha, from sattva to vishuddha sattva, that we're situated that it's only because I'm servant of the Lord, not because I'm any of these upadhis, right? So you're going to take it further. So this section is then simply establishing it's only through bhakti. So when it says that you're going to get, that there's going to get there, it doesn't mean by because of the worship like that. And it's by the pure bhakti that arises from, you know, it says japa, austerity performed to please the Lord or by the power of dying in the Vishnu Kshetra, right? So, and how do they know about the worship? That's bhajana kriya. That's all come from sadhu sangha. How did that come? How is that going there because of shraddha? How did that come because of sadhu sangha? So there's going to be the sadhu sangha that you take up by performing your karmas and by associating with devotees. And then getting that faith, now you're associating based with on that faith. Now it's a matter of bhajana kriya. So that's the thing, is these things naturally switch when they go from varnashram to daiva varnashram. That's then when now you're acting on that platform of pure devotion. You know, you may have some residues of these other things, but by continuing with that, then that's all given up. And so that's why also in the varnashram system, even though itself, it's dealing with the material consciousness and situation, it has the opportunities that of it, then, you know, one quarter of your life will be spent towards trying to fulfill material desires, but ideally in connection with Krishna, you know, as Daiva Varnashram. So you've had training before that without all these material facilities as a brahmachari, then vanaprastha sannyas, you're also trying to reduce or give these things up. And so the majority of the life is spent trying to remove these elements, you know, and give these things up. So that's the whole, the benefit of it, that it externally, mechanically puts you through these motions that you should do naturally if the consciousness came up. As we see, Prahlad Maharaj already is a pure devotee. He's already absorbed in the Lord and everything. So he has no need of being engaged as a king in Varnashram, in Ordaiva Varnashram. But he's doing it for the benefit of, you know, his followers. So they'll at least be pious, and because a pious person will surrender to the Lord. And so they're doing that, but he is setting the example in devotional service and preaching devotional service. So then they're able to appreciate and therefore come up. That's why then you see in many of the Bhagavatam verses, and that is talking about the demigods and the demons and the devotees. Everybody's worshiping Krishna because these demons are the ones, means they're born in those families. They're worshiping the Lord. So they're not, they'll say, yeah, I'm a demon. That saying is an unfortunate thing. I'm born in this family. This is my background. These are the activities, you know, but I'm doing them all in relationship to the Lord. So it becomes glorious. They're not saying, yeah, I'm a demon, and, you know, why should I follow all this demigod kind of jazz, you know, all this and that, and we demons are, you know, it's just another position in the material world, so we're equal, you know, like that. And no, they don't do that. They put it that we're in a more unfortunate position, you know, like the residents of Kinara and Kimpurusha, you know, Varshas there, that they're saying we're worshiping the Lord and all that, but we're not very cultured in that because we're vanaras and all that. So we're doing vanara stuff, but we're kind of in a lower position. So if one has that and one's comfortable there, fine, but don't make it that it's, don't try to use these, you know, Hindu kind of things of making everything equal. No, there's distinction. You know, it's only the devotional element. So since the devotional element in these things, the nature and the mode of goodness is less, it's harder to therefore see it on the proper platform. That's why they're thinking, oh, it's all equal. Oh, it's just Indian culture and Western culture. So therefore, they're just all cultures of this world, the contemporary world. So since we're here, we'll do follow this one. And if someone's from there, they could follow that one, but actually the Western one is superior. You know, so it's not an advantage. you know, not to preach. Someone may start there, but then as we see, the acharyas are trying to bring them up to the platform of pure devotion. Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very, very nice. It's amazing how in the analytical element, how he goes through and just, you know, takes one at a time, then takes that, and then takes that, and then again, you know, to bring it down to just that pinnacle of pure devotion and all that. You know, and so here we're looking at bhakti, right? Bhakti is superior because bhakti is those that endeavor, that practice, that understanding, that will bring you to prema, right? And so then in the next one, prema, then they'll be breaking down the levels of prema. So the bhakti will be, so therefore then the bhakti may have these other elements mixed, you know, these modes and that until you get to bhava, you know, so then we, you know, have that situation and shuddhasattva, but, you know, has it come to the point of Bhagavan understanding? When one is situated there, one may appreciate, but it has to come to the point it was exclusively about Krishna. So when it does that, then it comes to the platform of prema. And then, you know, then on the platform of prema, it can be appreciated. And prema also includes that platform of bhava, if that's one's position within the Shanta Rasa, that one appreciates the Lord on that, and one is eternally situated there, then it's going to be fine. It's the first stage of Preeti, you know, the eight stages, and prema is the second. And so then you get there. So that's, you know, then another, and I'm sure that will be dealt with, you know, when we get to that point. Okay, then the Acharya continuing. Attaining the Lord by independent worship of devatas is denied in the Gita. Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in the wrong way. So they worship them with faith that they're going to give. No, it's Krishna's going to give. So it's not that their family, then they have the tradition of worshiping Durga and all that. So at this day or this time or these occasions, then they go and worship Devi, you know, because that's just this family tradition, but they understand that it's just Krishna is coming in this form and this potency is like that of Shiva and his wife. And they take care of everything that, you know, arrange all the situations for us, but we're using it only by Krishna. So it's by Krishna's grace we're going to be getting everything, and they're just the servants. Then that's another thing. That's what was talked about before. So you're acting in devotion, though it still has that form that appears as though it's demigod worship, but it's not. But this is because this is tradition. You don't know these things. Why would you take them up? If you've already been given the higher position without having to include the demigods, why would you include them? You know, you're always respectful, but unless you bump into them or happen to be with, you know, somebody who then is doing something, you see it like that. But otherwise, you wouldn't yourself institute it into your sadhana, because why would you? It's not part of your sadhana. Right? Okay, then the next verse. I am the enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Those who do not know me as such continue to take birth. So when you know he's the Lord of all sacrifices and the enjoyer, so all things are meant for him, then you can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, then you get stuck here. You'll continue here because you think, no, the ritual is doing this, demigod is doing, the sacrifice is doing all that. No, anything working is Krishna. Like I'm taking this lozenge here for the throat, but it's actually Krishna is the active ingredient within it that makes it function. It's not that by taking those particular things or that, or by taking it, opening the packet, you know, and throwing it in my mouth, that solves it. No, it's Krishna, his potency, that makes it work. It just becomes the medium for that potency to be manifest. Then the next verse, the worshippers of the devatas go to the devatas, and the worshipper of the pitris go to the pitris. The worshipper of the ghosts goes to the ghosts, the worshipper of me come to me. Bhagavad Gita 9:23-25. Right, so you go to where you're going. So if you're going to go back to Godhead, you have to be worshiping the Lord. So if they're saying through that they can go, means at some point it has to switch over, and then at some point they'll just be engaged in pure bhakti. Whether they're still performing any of those activities or not, it's not, Some good qualities arise by worshiping the followers of the Lord, devatas. It is also an offense to disrespect them, right? So even though we've said, you know, we're not about worshiping them and that, you can't disrespect them. And there is some benefit that comes from that. Good qualities arise. That's the point, is that, you know, and then these good qualities can be engaged in Krishna service. But they come because of bhakti, not because of them. So we have to do that. Then we'll get the good qualities. Then we can worship. No, it's only through bhakti that that endeavor actually gave the good qualities. So therefore, if you can take to a more direct application of bhakti, that's the more intelligent thing to do. Okay. So from Bhagavatam, quote, the disciple should learn to have faith in the Bhagavatam without criticizing other scriptures. He should learn to avoid sinful acts of mind, speech, and body, to speak the truth, and to control the mind and external senses. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.26. Right, so whatever the position, he should see is that all these things have faith in Bhagavatam. That's the actual scripture. If he has faith in anything else, then it's going to be weak. Padma Purana says, the Supreme Lord should always be worshipped. One should not disrespect Brahma, Shiva, and others. But he's worshipped, and they're his parts and parcels, so they're also respected, just like Vaishnavas are respected. So you may see that someone who's worshipping the demigods, you know, he's not really respecting the Lord, therefore he won't really respect Vaishnavas either. You know, maybe if he's pious and they have the thing that, oh yes, sadhus, because if you worship them, our material life will go well. They may do, but it's not that they understand the position that they're in. They just know Shastra says. Gautamiya Tantra says, if a person who worships Krishna criticizes devatas, whatever dharma he has accomplished is destroyed. What to speak of attaining dharma in the future? Right, so it will be destroyed, whatever he has, and because he's doing that, he won't generate it in the future. So therefore, it's not going to be good for him. So one always has to respect the servants of the Lord, right? Because we see them as the devotees. They're representing the Lord and all that, and they're devotees. You know, they may be neophyte for many of them. You know, Brahma and Shiva are another class, Narad, and, you know, but as a general, that will be there. You know, so if they're in the heavenly planets and that in any capacity, then they're there because of devotional service and faith in the Lord. Just they have an attachment for these, you know, external forms like that. And so, but the point is they're devotees. They always have to be respected. Then Bhagavatam. Oops, that's okay. So bottom of 25. Okay, so then we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.